Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Well, tonight we're going to have a few panelists come up and share with us, and I'm so excited for what each one of them have to share with us today. First up, I'm going to invite up a father and son combo. Oh, SK and Joe Gann, why don't you guys come up here today? Come on, SK, let me sort out this cushion for you, mate. There we go, have a seat. Next up, Molly Snowden, come on down. Straight from worshiping, leading us tonight. And Michelle Schippers, come on up. I love these guys. Each and every one of them has got an incredible story and an incredible legacy in their own right. And they'll be sharing a bit more in their stories as we go along. And, you know, SK and Joe, father and son combo, it's awesome. And I love you guys' heart, both of you. SK, you're a full-time dentist, working man. We're not going to mention the nearing retirement age bit. We won't say that bit. but you work full-time in an incredible high capacity, yet I love your heart still to serve the house in Connect Group, in prayer team, and constantly giving of yourselves. You and Fiona are an incredible role models in what you guys do, and I love your heart for people. Joe, you've got an incredible legacy here, but I love seeing you serving in youth, always in refuel, always with joy in your face, a smile on that face of yours, never too hard or difficult. And I know you've got so much studies and stuff going on as well, and you're still coming along with joy in your face, serving the next generation. Molly, you're incredible. I love your heart for people. And I said this, you shared in the last service, and I'll say it again, that I've always loved to see Molly's heart to serve the next generation. And it goes so much more than just doing a role. Molly is an incredible mentor and has a heart to mentor and lead and raise up the next generation in worship and production. And her heart is to see these young kids rise up to be way better than anything she's ever been. And I love her heart for young people. So keep it up, Molly. And Michelle, oh, look at that smile. I love your smile. You and Louie are always so joyful in everything that you guys carry. You serve incredibly. Louie's out and duty officer. There he is at the back there, serving at the moment as well. And I love seeing you every camp, every Heroes Day. I've seen you in the kitchen preparing and serving within your capacity to our next generation too. So each one of these guys themselves should be celebrated. But today we're going to hear from them and why that they have a heart for legacy, for the next generation, for the generations that have gone before them, and why building our future is something that is incredibly important to each one of them. And so, first of all, Michelle, I'm going to ask you, what does legacy mean to you?
Legacy. I had to think about that a little bit. And so I speak in pictures, so please bear with me.
Yeah.
So something was planted in me, first generation believer, and it was too good to keep to myself. When you get a good gift, you just want to open it up and show it to everyone. Look what I got. And that's what happened when I met Jesus. But it was slow, guys, okay? And obviously get married and have children. How can you keep this gift to yourself? How can you just not tell them about Jesus and what he does? I don't get it right. Legacy is also passing it forward like a baton that you give on and say, go, you go with this now.
Yeah.
And so that is legacy for me right there.
Awesome. I love that. That's good. Molly, do you want to share with us what does legacy mean to you?
Yeah, I think what I said in the earlier service was I really find this question a little bit hard to answer, because when I think of legacy, it just feels so obvious. It just feels like, well, legacy is just everything. And I think that's because it has been ingrained in me as the norm by the people who have come before me. And I don't have a legacy that's been passed down through, you know, to me by my parents. And I really identify with the story of David. My parents didn't send me out into a field to tend sheep, of course. But I really identify with the story of David, that he actually was given a legacy and he held so tightly to that to pass on to the next generation. And so for me, legacy just means, you know, passing on something greater than I ever got myself, to help, to sow, to pioneer, and to facilitate a safe space for people to come and encounter God. Really?
Yeah, awesome. Joe, what about you, mate? What does legacy mean to you?
Yeah, I'm quite similar. It's like, it's quite an odd question because it's so ingrained in me, obviously with my parents as well. But I think for me, it's quite like a foundation setting. So like you start with the foundation before you and it just keeps getting higher and higher and it just keeps going up and up. And I really feel like that's what it is for me. Yeah,
awesome. Well, SK, obviously you've been the one to have to lay this down before you, but can you tell us, well, why is legacy something that is so important and valuable to you? Why is it something that you want to leave for your son?
First of all, Rick, Pastor Rick, thank you for including me in the older generation.
It's either you or me, mate, so I had to try to find a side.
Okay, I have to do it. I come from a generation where, you know, when we think of legacy, I think of inheritance. Yeah. And a physical inheritance. My parents, you know, would leave. Sometimes in life, we think about inheritance as leaving possession, house, material things, money to our next generation. So we would write a will, and last will and testament, and we would write this, and we'll put it in an envelope, and we'll put it away in a cabinet. Till one day we pass away. And to me, after I've come to know the Lord, there's so much more than that. It's not just something you just put it away and lock and key. You got to continue to do this. You got to so have a spiritual inheritance, leaving a legacy. So for me, I think it's fantastic to see Joseph, my son, you know, serving and something that, yeah, Fiona and I have instilled in them, and that's what legacy is all about, you know, building up his character.
Yeah.
And not only him only, yeah, I pray that even many spiritual parents that are around will impart into the younger ones in this way to build up their character. So to me, that's part of leaving a legacy for others.
Awesome, so good. Molly and Joe, this one's for you guys. You know, what does it mean to you to exist in a community of faith where there's mothers and fathers that have gone before you?
Yeah, this one's very practical for me. Like, I've got my biological dad and I've got my mum somewhere out there as a... Oh, there you go. Yeah. And I mean, just having them in this house is such an influence for me. It really sets the standard for me. It demonstrates what being a good Christian is. But also not just my biological parents, like even the spiritual parents in this place, like my mentors and the people that I go to who have lived more life, who've actually had more experience, who have the knowledge and the wisdom that I don't have. I get to go to them and I get to receive that. So that's really what
it's been. Yeah, awesome. Yeah. Molly, your story is a bit different, isn't it?
Yes.
Why don't you share?
Yeah. Well, like I said, my parents don't go to church. They don't know Jesus. And, you know, that's not forever. I'm believing that one day the legacy in me will be passed up to my parents. I know it's not just down, but up as well. But, you know, being I was telling Michelle earlier, I was such an atheist. I used to bully the kids in the Christian school and be like, go cry to your little Jesus about it. And look at me now. How funny is God? no joke. True story. But because I grew up in this environment where, you know, God wasn't real and I didn't have a spiritual inheritance like you're saying, and having those spiritual mums and dads and leaders who sowed into me, who looked after me, who chased me down, even when I didn't want to be found and I was like, leave me alone, you crazy people, I now am a product and a trophy of those who have sown into me. You know, I think of Michelle, I think of Sheree McCusey, I think of people like Fritz and Clara and Pastor Ken and Chrissy, like the people who have invested into my life. And because of that, I get to hand over a legacy to my children. You know, I don't have children now. I like to think that the youth kids running around are like my sons and daughters, although very close in age. But my children will be forever impacted by the legacy that has been sown into me. And I'm so grateful that we had mums and dads who just looked out for us and brought us into our own. And even one day, I want to be a spiritual mum and dad to somebody's kid who doesn't know Jesus, you know? But yeah.
I love that. Michelle and SK, this one goes to you guys. What does it mean to you, Michelle, you first, to be in a flourishing environment where the next gen is so vibrant and flourishing?
Well, just in the service now, there were two young adults, two young people on their knees in front of me, and that touched me. To see that and be a part of that, it just encourages me, challenges me. God is good, and He touches absolutely everybody, and He still touches me from the littlies. I've seen them praise and worshiping and closing their little eyes so tightly. How does that not melt your heart? How does that not touch you? God is working on that child. Yeah. Work on me, God. Yeah. It's incredibly inspiring to see, Rick. And may we continue seeing all ages. Yeah. And let's not forget our evergreens. Have you seen an evergreen bouncing around, guys? Yeah. It's amazing. Come or on. Tears going down the... Please, may it continue being generational, because it influences me still. Yeah. And thank you.
And SK, what about you? What does it mean to you to be in an environment where there's a flourishing next generation?
Okay, if for me, imagine in this room, it was only people of my age, and there was no young people around, and all of you right now are my age. Can you imagine what it's like? I don't think I'll be able to lift up this sofa like the two young people did earlier. We need young people and old people in the house of God. And I'm truly blessed to be in nations, to see this flourishing right now. I'm sure you all hear this many a times, especially the young. You know, we old people have been around that much longer, so we know life more than you. So you should listen to us. But that shouldn't be the way. I think there's many we old people too can learn from the young. Yeah. And it works both ways. Each of us have spiritual giftings, and in my household, you know, Fiona does the cooking, I do the garden, wash the cars. We all have different, giftings, I suppose. And in the family and the house of God, each of us plays a specific role. And we cannot, no one person can do it all, and we need each other. And so in this household of young people, I'm so glad to be in it. Yeah, not just old people around. Everyone. It's a blessing.
Amen. So what does Joe do? Your mum and dad paid me to put you on the spot today.
I do my part.
You study so you can take care of them when you're on. Now, I want to add to that what SK just said there, because it's something that's really been, it's a heart truth for me, that for so many years when I talk to new people in church, my age and older, when they're brand new in church and they've never been in an environment like this before, every single time they're so surprised at how many young people are around. And that's something that I never take for granted, and I never want to take for granted, and I never want to be complacent about, because there's so much power in where we walk into a church building and there are young people and older people and people from everywhere in between, and they're vibrantly and actively involved together. I want to be a part of a church that is forever available and open to people from all walks of life, from all ages and demographics, where our evergreens and our elderly, I don't care how old they are, but they are passionate and involved and active in the house of God, and they are supporting the next generation who are jumping around down here, chaotic, whether it's the little kids that are running around down the front, whether it's our refuel who are passionately worshiping in the front of a service down here. I want to be a part of a church forever that is so vibrant and active and passionate like that, because that is the house of God, right? And you know what? We take it for granted here, but you do not see that out there in the world. You just don't see an environment or spaces which have young and old gathered together, passionately connected like that. The church is unique like that, and that is what the church is designed to be. It's designed to bring together people from all walks of life, where we get to be able to support the generations around us. When I grew up in a church like this, honestly, every job I ever got came as a result of relationships I made with the next generation above me. You know, like that's how I got jobs and opportunities, because I made friendships. I served alongside people from that were a lot older than me, and I built relationships. And through that, I got opportunities to step ahead in life. And let that always be something that we're open and willing to be a part of, hey? Amen. Well, I want to ask a gardening question. So who's the gardener here? I heard it. SK, why is it important for you to be planted long term? There's gardening analogies here. So I want to hear from you, SK. Why is it important for you to be planted?
Since COVID started last year, I picked up a new hobby. Some of the young ones have been to my house and... You're laughing. Yeah, it's a bit of a jungle. I'm into indoor plants. And what I've noticed this past year is that the mature plants that I have thicker stems, bigger leaves, nicer flowers, and sometimes even fruits. And the Bible says, you know, man is also like a tree. Yeah. Psalm 1, the man should be planted by the rivers of water, you know. Yeah. And I think for us, it takes time for us to mature. Yeah. You got to give time for a plant to mature, to see the leaves grow. So, as I'm planted here, for myself, I see I can only mature in nations. Right. I give it time. I don't go, like we were even talking earlier, from one church. If I plant myself every year in a different church, I'm not going to mature because my roots aren't growing deeper. Yeah. Yeah. That's the other thing. Roots need to grow deep.
Yes.
And we are very grateful that we have good soil here in nations. Pastor Ken, Pastor Chrissy, you know, what they preach and teach, you know, all the various pastors is fantastic. So your soil is drawing all this nutrients. Your roots are drawing all these nutrients from the soil. And we, as men, should be like that too. And I'm so grateful. There's even Nations College. So Bible says not only just read the word, but also study the word. Yeah. So we even have a college if you want to go study, extend it. Plug for Nations College.
Molly, do you want to add to that one? Why it's important to be planted long term?
Yeah, I think similarly to what you were saying, I'm also a gardener. Just kidding, I'm not. I don't like gardening. I absolutely hate it. But I do love a good indoor plant. And my housemates will tell you I come home often with indoor plants and I kill them. I'm not very good at looking after plants. Jardina actually saves a lot of my plants. But I have this habit of moving my plants around a lot. You know, wanting to find new spots for them. And when I move them, they don't have an opportunity to get all that nutrients that they need. And just like a plant, we need to be able to grow and flourish. And the only way we can do that is to be planted in a significant space for a significant amount of time. That's how we grow. That's how we flourish. And so I think that's how I'd add on to it. And also, I want to see what God has to do in this house. Like, that's my answer. I want to see what God has to do in the next generation. If I've seen a glimpse, only a glimpse, if that's all I've seen, I cannot wait to see what God has to do. And there's longevity in that. Yeah. There is longevity in legacy. And if I just choose to pick myself up and plonk myself somewhere else, I'm going to miss out on what God has for the next generation that I want to be a part of. But yeah,
that's beautiful. Go for it.
One more thing I noticed about my plants is that... This is good analogy, typology. When a plant, when my plants are out in the harsh sun, they can get sunburned. They're also exposed to the strong winds. You know, when I do YouTube, watch YouTube and about indoor plants, they say a good thing to do for your indoor plants is this. Every now and then, as you walk past your indoor plants, do this. Why? You're actually mimicking the wind. And then why it's also good and healthy for the plants. As you do that, you're actually training the plant to be strong.
Wow.
Yeah. So Likewise, we ourselves, we go through lots of things in life. I don't know about you. We have our ups, mountaintops. We have our downs. You know, in life, we go through many things. And allow that to happen, you know. Yeah. Let this wind, harsh sun beat upon ourselves, you know. But it makes us grow strong. Wow. That's the beauty.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Michelle, what does it mean to you to love the house of God generationally?
To love the house of God generationally. Again, like SG? Yes. I've just met the man. I'm so sorry.
No worries, Melissa. It's all good.
Joe's dad. I know it's Joe's dad. So what was the question?
What does it mean to love the house of God generationally? And share this, because obviously your testimony is that you're first generation, so you've had to change this for your family as well.
Well, as I've mentioned earlier, I'm a first generation believer. Wow, what a privilege and an honor. What a change around, guys. I was completely going that way, and God said, come girl, we're going this way. I'm like, no, we're not. Oh, yes, we are. And I'm still going that way. And along the way, I found a husband. Hey, he's amazing. And I've got two kids, and they're all taller than me. So I'm the littly in the house now. But anyway, what's that got to do with the question? So, okay. We need our generations, guys, because the evergreens, the most respect that have spoken into me, that I've been able to speak into my children and even along with my husband. I've had younger folks that have said things to me. I apologize to a very special lady just today because I offended her many years ago and I needed to say sorry. Generations and influences and the Holy Spirit and the Lord works through people and tells me things and I responded to that. And it just enriches my life. We spoke about roots earlier. They're getting deeper and stronger, and I can stand better as a result of that. So we need, all of us here, God talks about the body, the hands and the feet, and I'm probably just a nose or a nostril, and that's fine. If you're the big toe, you be the best big toe you can be. We got to do our job, everyone. There are people who need to hear our story. No matter how big or significant or insignificant, sad or glad your story is, please tell it because someone needs to hear it of the generations here. God is good and he's got us here for a reason, so be the best legacy you can be. Yeah.
Joe, I want to hear from you. What do you feel it means to love the house of God generationally?
I think it's just being conscious of the different generations. Yeah, one, obviously, like she was saying, like be conscious of the ones that have come before us, being conscious that they've laid something down there for us to grow upon. But also be conscious of the generations that are to come as well, to love on them the way that Jesus loved on us, like to actually sow into them, to give them time, to give them mentorship. And I think that's why I love youth so much. Like, it's just an opportunity for me to... give that off, I guess, is to actually act on it. And there's obviously great legacy that comes in that generation, which is just, it's awesome.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, my final question to you guys is, why are you so passionate about building our future? SK, do you want to start us off with that?
Yeah, I am truly, truly passionate. Building our future is next week, isn't it, Pastor Ken? Yeah. It's not just only about money, though. We just said it's sowing in a generation. Yeah. This is the principle of sowing and reaping. Yeah. And can I share something? Yeah. Just this week, I had a patient who shared with me, you know, the cyclone that came through Calgary. Yeah. Well, he owns a farm, and the cyclone came through and destroyed his whole farm, and even his whole house was all gone, you know. And while he was sharing with me, Fiona and myself, I can feel the pain. I can feel the pain he was going through, and it's something, you know. He's built up this farm. He's been sowing seeds, you know. Reaping the harvest. And one thing he said at the end of the conversation was that he will build up this farm again, okay? But he doesn't think he'll see what it would be like as before again. Yeah. It will not be in his generation, he said. Yeah, wow. And I was so sad when he said, you can see the tears almost in his eyes, you know? And but spoke to me that, hey, he's still sowing though. Yeah. He's still going to go. Very he true. Says he's still going to go yeah. back. He's still going to build a farm. Yeah. He's still going to, you know, do the best he can to build up that farm again. Yeah. So that spoke to me. I mean, even building our future, we still should continue to sow. Yeah. We might not see the reaping in yeah. my. Yeah. I might not see it in my generation, yeah. but hopefully the next and the yeah. next. Yeah. And even a generation yet to be born.
Yeah, so, yeah. So good. So good. Yeah, Joe.
Yeah, I think I agree with everything my dad said. It's really just sowing to the things that you won't necessarily see in your own time. And I think, it's obviously just a real practical thing. You're giving the money so that bigger buildings can hold more people. And there's obviously a spiritual thing in just having more people congregating to for his reasons. So, yeah.
Come on. Molly?
Yeah, I think the reason I'm so passionate about building our future is because it's an opportunity to be intentional with what God has given us and know that it is going to something beyond ourselves, going to something greater than ourselves. And I know when I grew up in youth ministry, I got saved in this very youth ministry at the Civic Centre. I remember coming in and there'd be all these cool lights and these inflatables and, you know, the lolly stand and all this stuff. And I'm not saying I got saved because of an inflatable, don't get me wrong, but it was because of those things that had come from people who financially sowed into the house that I had a space to be safe. I had a space to make friends. I had a space to meet with Jesus. And now I see it in the next generation. And also with the trailer that we had, like I was saying to Joe, I remember at the Civic Center, we had those really steep stairs and we had to walk all the way up the stairs to get the tiny pieces of equipment that we had and haul them down. And now we have a building to call our own. And that's because of the people who came before me. And if that meant that I had a space to meet Jesus, I'll give everything I've got if that means one person can meet with Jesus as well.
Awesome.
I'm just really humbled that I can sit here tonight because someone has made this available for a first-generation believer to share her story. Yeah. So how can I not possibly be a part of that? Because there are other first-generations believers who need to come in.
Yes.
My children need to tell others about Jesus. Whoever we meet with. So it's an honor and a privilege to be a part of something so much bigger than ourselves. Because the whole world tells you it's all about you. And it's a tough life to live. Trust me, I've been there. It's so much nicer being part of something so much bigger. And whether it's a small or a big, you know who you are in building our future. And it's just humbling. It's an absolute privilege. And thank you.
Yeah, it's so true, hey. Yeah, and I love that too because, I mean, for so many of you, maybe this is you've only been around for a few years and, you know, like me, you're standing on the shoulders of people who have gone before you. I've been here for 3 years and there's people who have sown in for 14 years before I was here, but now's my part to play, right? Like, while I'm here, I've sowed previous to here to another place where I don't get to see the fruit from it, but I know that God, that it was never about me, right? The seeds I sowed were never about me. It was always about somewhere else. So if I move on and now I'm standing here, other people get to reap the rewards. And so today, in this season, we get to give, we get to contribute, we get to play the part that God impresses on us, each individually going to God for our own part to play, right? And we get to play that part to be able to see salvations happen in all our rooms, right? Our kids' ministries, let's believe that we're going to see salvations pouring out in our kids' ministry. In our youth rooms that many of us may never get to walk into, there's going to be so many salvations, more Mollies and Joes getting saved and getting relationship with Jesus in those rooms. And our auditoriums will get to see so many expressions of Jesus' love sort of happen in them because of what God is doing in so many people's lives. Amen? Amen. Come on, church, let's stand up together. We want to pray right here today. And I want to ask Molly if you want to pray, and SK, I'd love for you guys to just pray over us as a congregation. You know, let's receive
here tonight. I know God's doing some things in this place and He's stirring in each heart. You know, maybe for you that you may not have considered doing anything or playing a part at all, but right now I believe that God is stirring something in your heart, stirring something for you to play your part. No matter how small, how large, every person playing their part, like I think it was Michelle was saying, you know, we all are a different body part, you know, and if we all play our part, wow, there's some powerful things that God can do, hey? He doesn't need our money, but when He gets our heart and we all play our part, God is going to do miracles, hey? So Molly, why don't you pray over us? SK, you follow up and pray for us as well. We'd love to receive that. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we just take an opportunity to thank you that you are a God of legacy. Jesus, it's not just mankind who has decided that legacy is significant, but Father God, you, from the beginning of creation, from the beginning of the times, were a God of generations. And so, Jesus, we thank you that the fruit that we see in this house has come from your beautiful design, Jesus. And we just thank you for those who have come before us, Father God, the mothers and the fathers, the spiritual mums and dads of this house who have sown into each and every single one of us in some capacity, Jesus. We thank you for the conviction of legacy in them. And Father God, we thank you that we now stand as trophies and on the shoulders of those who have gone before us, Jesus. We thank you that you would burden a heart for the generations in us. Would you burden a heart for legacy in us, Father God, so that we would go and we would see the next generation come to know your love, your grace, and your mercy. And so, Father God, we just pray for a carrier spirit of legacy in Jesus' name. Father God, burden in us a spirit to carry legacy in this house. Thank you, Jesus. Thank
you. Father God, you are a God of past, present, and future. You have I was and is to come. That's who you are, Lord Jesus. You are coming back again. You are coming back again for a glorious church. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing here, past, present, and future. And right here today, as we stand here today, Lord, we are excited. We're excited to see what you're doing, nations, Lord. We commit ourselves, Lord. Every young person, every middle-aged person, every old person will put our hands to the plow. We'll exert all our energy, all our effort, our mind, soul, spirit to serve you, Lord. Let us use our giftings. Let us serve you, Lord. Let us be a sweet fragrance from these four walls. Let us reach out to the lost. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.